Our reading from Scripture tonight is taken from Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Really from 10 to 17. In fact, we'll begin at verse 1 and go through to 17. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran out from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and turned it back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, that they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burst against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it." Let us pray together. Lord, we ask in these moments that the power of your Holy Spirit would descend upon us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. When we looked at this morning, we could see how that moment when Jacob was practically disabled with a limp was a sign of blessing. It was an encounter that he would never forget. An encounter where he was told categorically that he had shown in battle that he could not be overcome. And in particular reference to men, that what he would seek to do, he would do because God would equip him. That battle scar would remain with him the rest of his earthly life until he was transported into glory, and he would not have to bear that scar of battle. Equally, Moses was given a commission by God. It was a commission that would require great faith, resilience of character. He would be asked, commissioned, sent by God to complete this task. A task that was beyond his human ability. And he recognized that quite clearly. A task that he did not readily step up to, but found himself making excuses before God not to do it. And since he was the writer of this particular book, he was candidly honest in the recognition of his own weaknesses. He was candidly honest in the Lord's response to him. Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Rarely do we write or speak about our weaknesses, or do we readily want to admit to them. In a world where achievement is praised, where success is valued, where our contribution is measured, to reveal our weaknesses, our inabilities, our inadequacies, appears to be selling yourself short. Yet here was an honest admission of his inability. But also an honest admission that in spite of the Lord's guarantees and promises of faithfulness, he still didn't want to do it. He had been given various signs up until this point, great and miraculous signs. He had been told that God would give him the words to say, that he would be ever present with him. And yet, he said, I don't want to do this. I would prefer that you sent someone else. That admission of stubbornness, that admission that he had an inability, was important as he recognized the fact that he could not possibly do this. But here is something else. Here he was, in the middle of this conversation with God. And God speaks to him. Let's look at it. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe the two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Here he said, I have an impediment. There is something that I cannot do, and that is speak. I have many other attributes and qualities. I have a mind and a heart and a passion for you, but I cannot do this because of my physical incapabilities. Could Jacob not have been so inclined? Lord, I now limp. I'm unattractive as I walk. My disability, in the eyes of some other people, will be a judgment against me. Because in our culture, when they look at us and see such impediments, they think God has been displeased. That God's showing his displeasure. Moses could not speak. Some suggest that it was a type of lisp. Others a stammer. But whatever it was obvious to Moses that in trying to deliver a message, that might be an impediment. But not to God. And God was going to choose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He was going to take those whose inabilities could have been an obstacle and say, I will do this through you. I can do this in spite of the limitations that you possess. And in fact, maybe because of such limitations, I can use you in a greater way. I cannot use those that are proud, but I can use those that are humble. And that reverses everything that we are often taught to work to your strengths, your capabilities, your assets. Sell yourself. And everyone will be convinced that you are capable of doing this. God says the reverse. I have chosen you because on the surface, it looks like you could not do this. And perhaps even in your own mind and heart, you will be incapable of carrying this through. I need you to be in a place of total and full dependence upon me. And it's more likely, Moses, that you will be in such a situation because of the way I found you. If you depend upon me, if you rely upon me, you will do this task. I will equip you, enable you to actually perform it. And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I will help you speak. What you're incapable of doing, I will utilize. I will empower you. I will equip you in order to undertake this task. Now go. I will help you speak. And the word teach in Hebrew gives the idea of channeled water. An arrow that's being shot. Directed. Here, God was going to equip him. Give him the flow. Give him the direction. Shoot him like an arrow with the capabilities of reaching its target. I will be with you. And you will be able to teach. And I will teach you what to say. Isn't that wonderful? That God said, I am going to come alongside you. I've asked you to live for me. I've asked you to be my disciple. I've placed you in the middle of a situation. This is of my doing, my creating. Now some of the imagery that's used here of what God was actually responsible for is used to remind us of his sovereignty. Who makes him deaf? Who makes him mute? Who gives the man his mouth? Who makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? In other words, rather than going into the extreme details and philosophy of this situation, what he's actually saying to Moses is something of critical importance. What is it you find in the world? You find limitations. You find brokenness. You find hardship. You find battles. Are these outside my remit? Is this world spinning out of control? Have those that have found themselves in this situation necessarily lost faith in me? Am I not the one who can provide in all of those circumstances? Would you much rather, Moses, that I was a God who was detached from this world or a God who was ever present in it, even in all its brokenness, even in the mess that surrounds it? Would you much rather I was there in the midst of all of this, empowering people to live life or abandoning them to live this broken life? I can be in the midst of all that earthly mess and still be God. I can be God even when Jacob's limp. I can be God even in your physical impediment. I am still God. I will be God because I can never be anything else. I can form in you life and hope that goes beyond the limitations that you now see or that you experience. I can give you a blessing in the midst of this mess that surpasses the capability of anyone else on earth, because I am the sovereign God. Have I not made all of this? And yet in the midst of all of this, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. I will be so close to you that it will be my voice through you. I will speak. And I will tell you what to say. Imagine hearing from God. Imagine the privilege of hearing from Him. And that's what He promises to do in your life and in mine, regardless of the mess, regardless of the difficulties. Here He is, praying for God's help, praying for someone else to be sent, praying for God's presence. But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else." It's okay to acknowledge the struggle with your faith at times. And it's no wonder the Lord burned with anger. What more could be said? Moses, what more do you want from me? What more can I give you in the midst of this? Now, ultimately, you want perhaps to go to heaven, be free from it. Yes, I know that. And that time is appointed, and that time will come. But until that time, what more can I deliver? Moses, I took you to a place and I said, stick your hand in your coat, bring it out. He was leprous and was healed. You know, throw a staff on the ground, becomes a snake. Lift it up again in faith. I'm the God who does that and more. Okay, I've done a few miracles. Okay. Do you want me to speak for you as well? I'll do that. Do you want me to tell you what to say? I'll do that. But yet, Moses said, I really, really don't want to do this, God. I really don't. It's difficult to look at the Hebrew and decipher just why the Lord was burning with anger, because to us the statement almost appears innocuous. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. It's phrased there in a way which is almost quite passive, polite interchange or exchange between Moses and God. But the Hebrews suggest that there's a problem. We're not exactly sure what it was in the construction of the language, but it may be one or two things that meant that God was so upset. It might be that the tone and inflection in his voice was one of frustration and anger on the part of Moses. Frustration. I really don't want to do this. Do you know the way you get frustrated some days? It's not so much what you say, it's the tone in which you're now saying it. His attitude was wrong. Regardless of everything that God had said, I don't like it. And God's patience was wearing thin after every promise that he had made. Or it could be, and as some have suggested, that the word sent, O Lord, please send someone else to do it, had messianic tones. Now, we're not sure just exactly how he would have understood the term Messiah even at that stage, but yet the term Levite is introduced about Aaron before that became an institution. There may be something here in its tone which was about who needs to be sent. Not someone humanly speaking, but someone divinely commissioned and maybe divine. Maybe God should go himself. And that's the inflection in the Hebrew might suggest that. No one is too sure, but it might give that indication that he's almost saying to God, well, send someone else, but since you're the one that's saying it,
Why don't you go?
And the Lord's anger burned. Because I'm asking you to go. That's why we're having this conversation. Do you ever have those moments with God that you're saying, Lord, that would have been okay for somebody else, but not me? And God's saying, no, but it's you I'm talking to. We're the one having this conversation, and you will learn something from this conversation that what you're incapable of doing, I can do. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak, and you will teach, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand, so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. This is a lovely passage. For a couple of very tender moments in the middle of it, Moses was being commissioned by God to do something quite significant. Aaron was being sent to help him. Aaron was the older brother. It would not have been Moses' right under the culture of his time to bypass and become superior over his own brother. It was an elevated position, and Aaron was being asked to defer to Moses, not the other way around. But yet God says, he is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. Isn't God good? Moses, I know that you're going to struggle. I know we're going to have this conversation. I wanted you to go out there on your own because I want you to learn to depend upon me. And I know that through your life, that's what you'll learn to do, though you may struggle at times with it. But I'm not going to leave you without some assistance. Of course I'm going to be with you. But I'm going to send to you Aaron in order to be your spokesperson. Now I know that Aaron is your older brother. And in the culture, that he should not be deferring to you, but or that you should not be taking the lead. And he should not be deferring. But I will so recreate his attitude that he will do it willingly. And in his heart, he is glad to see you. His heart will be glad when he does. His heart in this context, the Hebrew word that is used, doesn't just give the impression that, well, emotionally I can go along with this, but my head says something different. Here it combines the two. And Aaron is going to meet Moses with his head and heart connected. He, in his head, is going to acknowledge the fact that he will defer to Moses, though his culture tells him not to. But he has willingly embraced this idea that he will live in deference to his own brother, who is his junior, for the glory and honor of God. And that not only does he intellectually assent to it, his heart is also okay with that. He's sending someone who can truly work with him and along with him to achieve God's ultimate goals and purposes. And that's how God works with each one of us to fulfill his commission. God has called you. He's given you a task to do. It's a difficult task. It's a struggle some days in the battle to keep our head above water. The commission and task that we've been given is not an easy one. We may walk with a limp. We may have some impediment. that stands in our way. We may have struggles that we have to contend with on a daily basis. But God is listening to our prayers. God is listening to the conversation that we have with Him. And He's saying, I will be with you 110%. You will not be left without my presence. I will become your voice. I will teach you what to say. I will be present with you, encouraging you, strengthening you, equipping you for battle. You will go into it with every ounce of capacity that I give you. But just in case, I'm going to send someone to be with you. I'm going to send someone to assist you. And it was Aaron. And the interesting thing is that they were very different gifts, but now God was uniting them together to fulfill that function. Moses had a head and a heart for God. He was the sort of person whose aptitude was that he really sensed a passion for people and situations. But he couldn't deliver. He couldn't communicate. He had this burning desire. But the limitation was that he perhaps could not impart the message in a way that would convince. Paul the Apostle was a person who was weak in physical terms, unimpressive as a speaker. But yet he too, in the midst of all of this weakness, was given people who would work along with him to fulfill God's great task. Aaron was a person who was eloquent. He was articulate, but he didn't have the same passions. He didn't have the same heart that Moses possessed. He wasn't gifted in the same way. But now working together, God would do something miraculous, do something supernatural, do something powerful in the people. Two people connected together, working together for God, would achieve great things. But then that's the story of how God works. That's the marvelous character of God that we have been given insight and revelation to. Look at God. God the Father. He looked at the brokenness of the world. He needed to make atonement for it. No human being could actually atone for the sins of this broken world. He had a son. His son willing to walk on this earth for each one of us, to meet with us. He didn't have to force his son to do it. The Father sent his son. His son was willing to complete that task. His son walked this earth, lived the life that he lived, and died the death that he had to die so that you and I could go free. But another member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, was sent by the Son. Because the Holy Spirit could empower, could indwell us to finish what Jesus had started and what God had sent Him to do. Working in perfect unity together, they achieved what you and I could consider humanly impossible. Our salvation, our freedom, our liberty. Three, working together as one. Then God created Adam and Eve. What was it He said when He created Adam? It was not good for Adam to be alone. So He sent him Eve. And Eve and Adam together were to work in harmony together in that perfect bond to glorify and honor God. Many, many times in Scripture, God sends out two people because He believes passionately in community. He believes passionately in relationships. He believes passionately that one should help the other and that together we are stronger than we are as individuals. And here Moses is given that great luxury of hearing those words, I will give you Aaron. Aaron will speak for you. But even Aaron and all his eloquence cannot speak well enough for me. So I will give Aaron my words to say. I will teach Aaron too. I will empower Aaron with all his eloquence to speak in power and with great divine authority. So no matter how gifted or how talented the individual is, they are still not talented enough. They still need the support of you, Moses, with your heart, with your desires, with your aspirations.
And I will join you both together to become a powerful force in the kingdom of God. And great things will be done when you work together, not when you work apart, not when you work as individuals. Because we are Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve were created to be a bond together. The church is created for us to work in partnership and in tandem together. My weakness is your weakness, is your strengths my strengths, all becoming part of the solution and never part of the problem. You have been given a tremendous gift from God. Maybe at times you have said, Lord, I'm incapable of doing this on my own. And you're 100% right. You are. But God said, I will do it through you. But more than that, I will send someone who can do what you can't. And so in the heat of battle, God sends his people to be his people and to do his will and his work. Wherever it is found, we work together. We work for God's glory. He gives us each individual talents and strengths to complement, to support the work of other people, not just our work in particular. That's what's called the team of the church. That's why every one of us has been gifted with a particular gift, a particular strength, and a particular call that is not independent from one another, but working in conjunction. We do together what we can't do apart. And that's the glory of the kingdom of God and the glory of Christian community and the glory of this encounter in prayer that Moses had with God, which said, you know what, Moses, I'm one step ahead. In fact, I'm two steps ahead. I'm 10 steps ahead. I've already decided that Aaron's coming. He's on his way. I knew we were going to have this conversation, but I needed to get you to the point, Moses, of where you recognized that if Aaron hadn't been sent, we could still have done it. We could still have done it because I'd have spoken for you. I'd have done it through you. But that's not how I work. So Aaron's on his way. And he's already decided in his head and his heart, because of the conversation that we've had prior, that he will do this as a willing support to your ministry. That's how God combines his people. That's why we need each other. Because I'm useless at certain things. And I can do some things. But together, your gift, my gift, his gift, her gift, we can take the world by storm. We can do the impossible. Because God is with us. We can do it when we do it together, never when we're apart. Moses' problem, if he had one, was that he said, send someone else, when he could quite readily have said, send someone to me. It was not the need of someone else that God burned in anger. It was probably the fact that Moses said, you know what? I prefer not to do it at all. And God said, why? After all I have said. And if you knew my heart, Moses, you'd have known I'm sending somebody anyway. They're on their way. If just for one moment you'd have stepped aside and thought about me and not about yourself, you would have seen who I am. The trouble with self-orientated prayers is not only do we not see God properly, we don't see his people properly either. God had already made provision. And Moses was about to miss out on it because he was going to walk away and say, do you know what, Lord? No, and not at all. And God said, just a minute. Help is on its way. And with that, they worked together to do what was impossible, to prove that God was capable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us with your presence, not only through your word, but also through the singing, the ministry song, our time of worship, and our time of reflection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.